About his love. Tonight, if you have your Bible, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verse number 8. Philippians 4. In verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. This verse tonight, it teaches us that we are responsible for our thoughts. To think right thoughts. And being stewardship month, I'm going to be preaching tonight on the stewardship of our thoughts. And it's very closely connected with the message this morning. The stewardship of our identity, what we think about ourselves, how we identify, and thinking the thoughts that God thinks of us. So let's begin with prayer tonight. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for the songs tonight, Lord, that gets our minds and upon the right things and prepares our heart for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be stewards of our thoughts. Lord, it's a battle that is very important for us to get the victory over. It's an area of our Christian lives that we need to manage well if we're going to have the victory. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, and bless your word as you speak to us, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Do you realize the kind of thoughts that you think? It affects your behavior, your attitude, your values. There's a verse in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Where he says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, that's why I say that connection with the message this morning about our identity, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What you think about yourself is important, but not just what you think about yourself, but your thoughts in general. Because what we think not only directs what we do, but it also determines who we are. Many Christians, I believe, they live defeated lives because they dwell on the wrong thoughts. I believe the real battle in the Christian life is with our thoughts. You know, Satan, he works like mad to get control of our thoughts, to plant thoughts in our minds, to defeat us. Our thoughts affect our perception, not only of ourselves, but of other people, even of God. It affects how we see situations, and all these things determine the direction of our lives, the quality of our relationships, and even of our accomplishments and failure. It all rests upon having the right thoughts. You know, we can't control what people or circumstances, but we can control what we think about them. I want you to think about that one. We can't control people or circumstances, but we can choose what we think about them. And that in turn directs how we respond to them, whether people or circumstances. I want you to hold your place here and just go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Let's back up to verse 3. He says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." He's talking about spiritual warfare in these verses and how that we don't war after the flesh. That's not how we win the battle in the Christian life. It's not fighting in the flesh. It's not flesh and blood warfare that wins the battle. It's spiritual warfare. And he tells us here that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. In other words, they're not of the flesh. But they're spiritual. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, you think about this word stronghold. Stronghold is something that Satan can erect in our minds, in our thinking. You know, wrong thinking can become a stronghold of Satan. And that's why he tells us casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So he tells us here that we need to bring every thought into captivity. Every thought. We're talking about the stewarding or the stewardship of our thoughts. And I believe the stewardship of our thoughts involve learning to think biblically. And that's what we're going to look at tonight here in Philippians 4:8. And as we look at this verse in Philippians 4:8, I want you to consider the context for just a moment. This is one of Paul's prison epistles, meaning that he wrote this letter from prison in Rome. He wrote it to the church at Philippi. And you can read about the background of this church in Acts chapter 16. It was one of the chief cities of Macedonia. Paul went to this city and preached, and they planted a church there with his missionary team, and now he's writing to this church from prison. And they had sent an offering to him through one of their servants in the church, and now he sent his servant back with this letter to the church, because these Christians here at Philippi were experiencing some very stressful times in their lives. From what I can see in this letter, they were experiencing persecution. They were experiencing false teachers. In chapter 4, if you start up in the first verse, you'll see that he's experiencing division in the church, discouragement. They were experiencing worry, fear. All these things were taking place in the church here. And so as Paul is writing to this church, he's trying to encourage them to stand fast. That's how he begins verse 1 in chapter 4. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." That's the context. And it's important that we understand what Paul is seeking to do here. Stand fast comes from a word, stako, which means to stay put, persevere, endure. In other words, to stick with it. So he's telling these believers here at Philippi, stick with it. You know, you're going through these stressful, difficult times, persecution. Just stick with it. Don't give up. And I want you to know that this is coming from a man in prison for his faith in Christ. This is a man who suffered so much, and here's a man that he's not slowing down. He's not coasting in his Christian life. He's not stagnating. He's still running the race set before him. And so he's saying, look at my example, follow my example, and just stand fast. Stay with it. Now, when he comes down to Verse number 6, he says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." He's talking about being full of care, being full of anxiety and worry. He said, don't be careful for, he said, be careful for nothing. Don't let worry take control of your life. And you know, this, what does this have to do with your thinking? Worry begins in your thoughts, in your thought processes. And he tells us that we're to take these things to the Lord. And look at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So when we take it to the Lord in prayer, what does he say? He said that the Lord will keep our minds. He will keep our thoughts. What he means here is the word keep means he will guard. He will protect our minds with the peace that passeth all understanding. So this worry won't be tearing our thoughts apart. It won't be tearing us apart, but we will rest with the peace of the Lord. And so as he has been talking about these things, he comes to verse 8 where he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." So as part of encouraging them to stand fast in the Lord, He shares with them a very important principle in the Christian life, because I believe our thought life is so vital to growing in Christ-likeness and experiencing victory in the Christian life. I mean, it's going to be your thought life this week that's going to determine whether you're going to serve Christ or not. Your thought life is going to determine whether you're going to be depressed or joyful in the Lord. It's your thought life that's going to have you either in defeat or in victory as a Christian. Our thought life determines a lot. It's vital to us in growing. And the Bible, I believe, teaches us here that we need to steward our thoughts. We need to learn to think biblically in stressful times as well as in blissful times. You know, there are scriptures that teach us that we should renew our minds. Ephesians 4:23. Romans 12:2. Renewing your minds. And how do we renew our minds as a Christian? Have you stopped to think about that? Have you ever asked your question, how can I renew my mind? How can I start thinking biblically? I believe with all my heart that it comes through the Word of God. Amen. You know, Satan's lies and all these other thoughts that come in and all these different, from all these different places and these things that we hear and we start thinking these thoughts. How do we renew our minds? It's in the Word of God. Because everything that you see listed here in these verses, or in this verse, you could say there's a parallel to the Word of God. You stop and think about it. Whatsoever things are true. Is this true? You know, if you're tired of all the fake news we see out there, get in the Word of God. This is the word of truth. Whatsoever things are honest, just. The word of God is honest. The word of God is just. The word of God is pure. It's lovely. It's of good report. I mean, the word of God, this you could pretty much describe the word of God with these adjectives that he uses here in this verse. You know, if you look in Ephesians, just the book right before Philippians, Ephesians 5 and Verse 26. Verse 25 says that, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water, the word. The word of God, what does it do? It cleanses. It will cleanse your thoughts. It will sanctify your thoughts. You know, there's another verse that Jesus prayed in John 17. In verse 17, as he prayed to his Father for his disciples, he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So, you know what we need to steward our thoughts and have biblical thinking? We need a daily brainwashing. I'm serious. I mean, get the Word of God, and you need to wash your have a brain washing. You know, I'm not saying that the Bible brain washes us, but it does cleanse your mind. It does cleanse your mind. When you begin to meditate on the Word of God and get the Word of God into your heart and mind, it affects your thoughts. When we begin to sift every thought through the sieve of the Word of God, that's what it means being a good steward of our minds. Because, you know, it's not easy. It's really not. It's not easy being a good steward of our minds or our thoughts, because our minds are being attacked constantly. I mean, you can be in church and some evil thought just comes in your mind. Just like that. You can be reading your Bible and then your mind drifts off and you have some bad thought. I mean, it's just like, these attacks will come. Satan's attack upon Christians through their thought life is relentless. Martin Luther, he said, "You can't stop the birds from flying above your head, but you can stop them from making nests in your hair." You know, these thoughts are going to come. You may be watching football on TV, watching the playoffs, and then some commercial comes on or some news announcement or something, and a thought comes, a wrong thought. Or you may see someone at church and some wrong thought comes to your mind. I mean, just that quick, these thoughts will come. And so being a steward of our thoughts is learning to think biblically. You know, we desperately need to apply this scripture to our lives. It's very, very important. We learn to steward our thoughts. We learn to manage the thoughts that come to our mind. I want to just briefly look at these six adjectives here that he mentions. Whatsoever things are true. Dr. Walter Cavert, he reports that 92% of what people worry about is either imaginary, never happened, or involves matters over which they have no control anyway. Think about that. 92% of what people think is not even true. It's just imaginary. In other words, 8%, only 8% is over what most people worry about is legitimate. You know, we need to be reminded of something. I want you to look in John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, look in verse 44. When Jesus was speaking here to these Pharisees, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So Satan, he is the father of what? Lies. I want you to look in 2 Corinthians 11. In 2 Corinthians 11, you know, Paul was very concerned about the church here in Corinth. In verse 3, he says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So he had a fear that Satan would corrupt their minds, their thoughts. I want you to think about that for just a minute. He's writing here to saints. He's writing here to the redeemed. You know, some of those things we talked about this morning, those that are new creatures in Christ, blessed, chosen in God, adopted. He's writing to Christians here, those that are in Christ. And he said, "I fear for you. I fear because Satan, he, just like he tempted Eve and Adam through his subtlety," he said, "so your mind should be corrupted." It's a real danger, Christians tonight. It's a real danger of Satan getting control of our Christian life or destroying and defeating our Christian lives through our thought life. Through corrupting our minds with things that are not true. He wants to corrupt your mind with lies. You know, like this morning I mentioned, he concerning your identity, he wants to tell you lies like, "Well, you know, God don't really love you. God can't really use you." I mean, how could God forgive you? I mean, for the sins that you've committed in your life. You're just going to live a defeated life. Your life's not going to amount to much. You know, Satan's going to continue to get those lies in our minds until we believe them. And what we think and believe is how we're going to act. So we need to think biblically. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to control our minds through truth. It's through truth that we are sanctified. It's through truth that our minds are cleansed and washed. And we renew our minds through the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth that sets us free, John 8:32 says. "If you continue in my word," he said, "then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So how am I going to be free from these wrong thoughts? That are these thoughts that Satan would try to build his strongholds in my life. It's through truth. Truth. The word of truth will set me free. We must not be ignorant of his devices. He wants to use our thoughts through his lies to defeat us. Notice the second one, he says, "Whatsoever things are honest." You know, this word honest speaks of that which is characterized by integrity or fairness or straightforwardness in conduct, thought, or speech. It even has the idea of being decent or honorable. We need to think on things that are honest. Not just true, things that are honest, things that are decent, things that are honorable. Romans 12:17 says, "Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Provide means to think beforehand. So think beforehand things that are honest. Things that are honorable. We got to stop focusing on things that are dishonest and dishonorable. Dwelling on dishonest things will corrupt our character. The next one he says, "Whatsoever things are just." The idea here is that things that are right, things that conform to the will of God. You know, since our thinking has a profound effect on our living, it's important that we think on right things, things that are just. Let me give you a negative side of this truth. I'm sure some of you have been reading through Genesis. In Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Why was the earth so corrupt and filled with violence? It's because of man's thoughts. He was not thinking on those things that were just, that were right, that were honest, that were true, that were pure. But it says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. On the opposite side, the positive side of this, in Proverbs 12:5, he said, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit." The thoughts of the righteous are right. You know, we are to be characterized by right thinking. If we are righteous in Christ, if you're saved, you're in Christ, you are to think right thoughts. We are to think as we are. You know, the sad thing today is we've got more access to filth and wickedness than any generation before us that I can think of, because I don't think in Noah's day they had internet. I don't think they had smartphones. But it's really sad we can corrupt our thinking just holding a phone in our hands. Whatsoever things are pure, that's the next one. You know, this speaks of things that are morally pure. You know, Jesus, when he preached his Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." You know, we're living in a morally defiled and impure society. I was talking about this in Sunday school. We're looking at the Ten Commandments, and I was talking about my reading through Leviticus this last week, and you know, just reading through the law of God and seeing God's holiness and seeing the difference between clean and unclean, what is right and what is not right in the eyes of God. And then it just breaks my heart to look at the way our society is. You know, even churches today are having transgender pastors. Isn't that crazy? Or homosexual pastors. There's no moral compass today at all. There, all the filth is normal. And we have been affected by it because it's so prevalent in our culture, it's so prevalent in movies, it's so prevalent on the news and TV, and everywhere it's prevalent. Facebook, social media, all kinds of filth and uncleanness, and it comes into our minds, and if we don't become good stewards of our thoughts, we're going to be defeated. He tells us to think on things that are pure. We've got to resist the temptation to think on things immorally pure. I mean, it's kind of like that Martin Luther, what he said. You know, these birds can fly over our heads, and these thoughts will come. They will come into your mind, but you have a choice what you do with that thought. You have a choice whether you can dwell on that or cast it to the side, casting down imaginations, taking every thought captive. You can choose to what you think. J. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord searches the heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our minds. We need to keep that in mind. That should motivate us to be a good steward, because you know what? God knows our thoughts. We're going to be accountable one day for everything, not just the stewardship of our finances, not just the stewardship of our time and things like that, but we're going to be accountable for the stewardship of our thoughts. So whatsoever things are lovely. This is talking about things that are acceptable or pleasing or beautiful or attractive. You know, we need to dwell on things that are lovely in the sight of God. Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A godly woman, that's lovely, isn't it? Amen. Whatsoever things are of good report, things that are reputable, things that are worth talking about. So many bad reports today, so many false reports, so much fake news out there today. You know, we don't need to dwell on those things. We don't need to think on those things. If we practice right biblical thinking, we need to think on things that are of good report. You know, this church here at Philippi, in verse 1, chapter 4, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. In verse 2, I beseech Euodias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, he calls out these two women's names because apparently they were in disagreement or division with one another, and there was a threat of these women causing division in the church, and so he called them out, and he said, I beseech you, be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, we need to think right thoughts, not just pure thoughts when it comes to moral things, but, you know, we need to think right thoughts when it comes to other believers in Christ. You know, charity, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Be careful. Satan can get stronghold in your mind through false reports, gossip. We need to spend time on the Word of God, meditating on the truth, protecting our minds, thinking on the right kind of thoughts. Not thoughts that would tear us down or tear down other people. Our thinking is very, very important. I want you to look in Hebrews 4:12. This just is another reason to encourage you in your Bible reading, reading the Bible through in the year. Because of this very truth of stewarding our thoughts. How can we steward our thoughts if we don't take some time to read the Word of God? But here in Hebrews 4:12, he says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. And notice this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is a discerner. What does that mean? It's like a built-in radar. The Word of God is like a judge. The Word of God discerns and judges our thoughts and our intents. How many times have you thought the wrong thing, but when you got in the Word of God, God convicted you about that thought and changed your thought? See, the Word of God is important. We hide the Word of God in our heart. He said that I might not, what, sin against thee. It's when we hide these things in our heart, when we think on these things. It's like having a built-in radar when a wrong thought comes. I mean, there's an alarm goes off. Warns us about that. David said in Psalm 119, verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. He said in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What a great prayer for us to pray. Lord, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. He's talking about our thoughts. Lord, let my thoughts be acceptable unto you. Sometimes we don't look at sin as being internal like that. We think of sin as something outward. We think of sin as something like stealing or telling a lie or something like that. But you know, Jesus said, men, if you look on a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. Our thoughts. Let me just close with some questions. We're talking about stewarding our thoughts. How can we steward our thoughts? Well, I've kind of given you some things we need to think on. Or Paul gave us some things we need to think on. We need to dwell on these things. It's the Word of God. We need to renew our mind and cleanse our minds with truth. But here's some ways that we can evaluate our thoughts by asking these questions. Where does this thought come from? That's a good question. We get a thought. Where does that thought come from? Where did that thought come from? Did that thought come from Satan? Did it come from God? Here's another question. Where will these thoughts lead me? Where will these thoughts lead me? When a thought comes to your mind, you start thinking on that thought. Where will these thoughts lead me? Another question. Will these thoughts get me where I want to go? Will these thoughts get me where I want to go? You know, I hope that you want to grow in Christ. I hope you want to go forward in Christ. I hope you want to see your Christian life grow. Amen. Will these thoughts get you where you want to go? Here's another question. Are these thoughts scripturally acceptable? In other words, are these thoughts acceptable in God's sight? You know, if they're not, we should not be thinking them. We should not be dwelling on them. Another question, will these thoughts build me up or tear me down? We could even alter that a little. Will these thoughts build another person up or tear that person down? Could I share these thoughts with someone else? You know, if the thoughts that we are thinking, if we can't share them with someone else, we probably don't need to be thinking those thoughts. Do these thoughts show me as a follower of Jesus? You know, if we will evaluate our thoughts by these questions, if we'll evaluate our thoughts by this verse, Philippians 4:8, we'll evaluate our thoughts by the Word of God, it would help us to better steward our thoughts. We're responsible for what we think. You know, somebody can come and tell me something, but I choose what I'm going to think about what they say. May we be like David. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. May we pray like David. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, when he goes into verse 9, I want to close with this. He said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, when we commit our burdens to the Lord in prayer, we take them to the Lord. We don't come anxious about them. We don't come full of care or worry, but we take them to the Lord. God's peace will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then when we have the right thoughts, you know what? When you begin to have the right thoughts, it's going to manifest itself in our actions and what we do. And when we do those things that we've received and heard and learned in the Word of God, he says, the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your Word. We thank you for reminding us of an important stewardship responsibility that we have as Christians to steward our thoughts, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Lord, to think on those things that are right, those things that are just, those things that are pure, those things that are lovely, of good report. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, that this week as we go through life, Lord, I know there's going to be wrong thoughts that's going to come to our minds. Lord, help us to control what thoughts we dwell on. Lord, help each one of us to take the time to renew our minds, to spend time in your Word and cleansing our thoughts and our minds and our hearts so that we can think right thoughts, that we can think biblically. Lord, let us not allow Satan to get any stronghold in our lives through our thinking, through our thought life. Lord, I pray tonight that there's anyone here that's struggling with their thought life, getting defeated because of the things that they're thinking, whether it's thinking about themselves, about their sins, or about others. Lord, I pray that you would give them the victory tonight. Help them to bring these things before you tonight. Lord, as you tell us here in your Word, that we need to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications to let our requests be made known unto you. Lord, let us take our burdens to you. May our thoughts and our meditation be acceptable, I pray unto you. For it's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen.